Morning, good morning. Thank you for letting me borrow your phone, Don. I usually steal Rachel's phone for recordings. She's on a plane somewhere. I bought a new pair of shoes recently. I always like the white running shoes. And when I bought them, I noticed the inside of the soles say something that means one thing for running and perhaps another thing for preaching. It says, "I will run long." So that's probably good when I'm getting out on the road. Maybe you don't want to hear my shoes say, "I will run long." I'll do my best to make a liar out of those. This morning, I have something to confess. Something that you may not know about me. It was bound to come out eventually, so I might as well just go ahead and share it. I'm a superhero. To this point, you've only met my mild-mannered alter ego. But today you learn the truth. I am Captain Conviction. You see, it started out a while ago as just a play on words. I was in a traveling drama group at Rochester College called Company. And most weekends throughout the school year, we would travel around the Midwest performing at camps and youth rallies and events like that. And we got to go to new places and meet new people while we performed skits about our faith. And while at these new places, I would often notice things. Small things. And I'd point these small things out to my fellow performers. Things like, "That bulletin board has a misspelled word on it." Or, "That wall has one brick that's a different color than all of the other bricks." Or, "Did you guys notice that Patrick Meade's accent gets thicker the further he goes from Rochester?" Small things. Not meant to be criticisms, just observations. I notice small things. I have nothing to say about any of the slides this morning. But sometimes you see small things. Things I find interesting. And at one performance, after pointing out one of these things, my friend John said to me, "Chase, you're always pointing out things that are wrong everywhere we go. We should call you Captain Conviction." Everybody had a good laugh about that. Have a good laugh, continue as normal. That's it. Chase is Captain Conviction. A little while after that, we were having rehearsal, trying to come up with ideas for new skits. And someone said, "Well, what about Captain Conviction? He's here." So we said, "Can we come up with an idea of how can we use Captain Conviction as a character?" So this play on words developed into a full-blown character. And here's how the scene would go. A soft-spoken narrator introduces the audience to the small town of Genericville. An ordinary town full of ordinary people who had no idea that the winds of temptation were about to sweep through. And their only hope is our hero, the only one who can warn them about the dangers of giving in to temptation. And our hero's name is Captain Conviction! Yeah, okay. And suddenly I sweep in and I describe the terrible situation. I tell the name of the villain and I explain the loathsome crime that they're about to commit before jumping in to stop them. Here's an example of one of those scenes. "Oh no, good people, a villain. His name is the Cheater.
a sneaky swiper of scholastic scores, surreptitiously stealing subjects from unsuspecting students to satisfy his sordid schemes. Certainly a sinister and sleazy scoundrel. So sad to see. What does Captain Conviction say? Don't! Then the narrator declares the day has been saved, and the citizens of Genericville no longer need to be afraid of the winds of temptation as long as they remember the wise advice of Captain Conviction. Don't! And scene. We do that a couple times, and sometimes the audience liked it, and sometimes it was just goofy. And that's all it was. It was a silly skit that allowed me to write silly lines and play an over-the-top superhero while having fun with an inside joke with some of my friends. It was not one of our deeper theological messages, to say the least, but it was fun. And that was enough at that time. But Captain Conviction has stuck with me. Every few years, I come back around to this character. And I come back to the captain to see if there's more that I can be taught. And if there's more that I can learn and teach others that I can get from Captain Conviction. After all, I was Captain Conviction before he was ever a character on the stage, right? And I've come to see him not as the only hero who can save the day, but as kind of a parody of the ways that we go about interacting with others, especially non-Christians. He's become a caricature of the ways that we can do more harm than good if we don't think about what we are doing and what we are called to do. And even today, Captain Conviction teaches me about what really matters about evangelism. How do we tell the story? Mostly by the ways that he completely screws it up. So here are some of the top evangelism mistakes that Captain Conviction makes, and some that we may sometimes be guilty of as well. Number one, he talks with strange language. You may have picked that up. Now, the way Captain Conviction talks is personally my favorite thing about playing the character. I love alliteration. No. I adore alliteration. That's better. It's fun to write. It sounds cool. And it's a nice mental challenge when trying to write it. But would you ever actually want to have a conversation with someone who talks like that? Every word starting with the same sound. It's a chore to listen to, and it's not normal. We'd be trying to get out of that conversation as soon as we can. It's nice for a little while, but it gets old. I wonder sometimes how our church talk sounds to someone who's not used to hearing it. You know church talk, right? You know church talk. It's those terms that we only use in a church context that you don't hear anywhere else. It's the way that we change the way we talk when we pray out loud. We use church talk. It's those phrases that we pick up along the way because we've heard it said by others. For years when I was young, I always prayed to our Heavenly Father because I heard my dad say it. It's language that we pick up. It's my friend Clayton when we were probably about 12. He'd already been at early service that morning, so when I tried to hand him the communion plate, he leaned and said to me, "I already took of it." You know, church talk, we say things differently sometimes. And I don't think there's anything bad about church talk. But I don't know how helpful it is when we're trying to talk to someone who's not fluent in church talk.
Church talk sounds weird outside of church. And I bet we stand a lot better chance of being heard if we speak in the same language as the people who we're hoping will listen. Captain Conviction hasn't figured that out. Maybe it's something we can do. Number two, Captain Conviction doesn't listen. He doesn't have time. He blows in with his prepared statement, says what he thinks they need to hear, don't, and then leaves, declaring the job well done. He assumes that this message is one size fits all, and if it makes sense to him, then obviously it makes sense to everybody. And we have to recognize that not everyone processes things the same way. It can't always be one size fits all. Even the best crafted Bible study series or the best Path to Salvation presentation will fail if it's not paired with actually listening and engaging and trying to understand what the person you're talking to needs. We can't just dump a prepared statement, the same thing on everybody, and expect, well, that's going to work. We got to listen. So number three, Captain Conviction spends more time talking about people than talking to people. And I suppose this is related to number two. And consider the setup in the skit. A detailed monologue given to the audience about why this villain is so rotten. And then a quick cookie-cutter statement to the actual person that he's trying to help. And sometimes I feel like I've spent way more time sitting in Bible classes talking about the people I'd like to reach than I have actually talking to those people. And maybe that's natural. And maybe that's just a result of trying to figure out the way to engage someone. And maybe it's because the task seems so great that we have to take the time to break it down and to try to understand it. But I feel like at some point we have to move on from saying, well, people are different these days and I don't understand. Kids are different these days. Parents are different today. We just need to go and talk to those people and learn about them from them. I appreciate a good game plan. It's good to have one. But we should be careful about paralysis by analysis. Go talk to someone. The captain does not get that. And number four, Captain Conviction treats his neighbors like enemies. When Captain Conviction sees someone giving in to temptation, he labels them a villain. He sees the lost as the bad guys who need to be straightened out. He sees everything in black and white. Okay. Sin, bad. Sinner, evil. Black and white. And this is where I think Christian organizations trying to capitalize on the popularity of superheroes often end up missing the mark. And I'll take this one on myself before. I've written a VBS about superheroes and it did this more than I'd like to admit myself. When we see somebody struggling with sin or living a life without Christ, that person is not the enemy. They're the victim. Satan is the enemy. Satan seeks to enslave us all. And when we speak to our neighbors about Jesus, we aren't the long arm of the law righting wrongs. We are a member of a search and rescue team. Someone brought us into safety, and now we go back out to do the same for others. Your neighbors aren't your enemies. So maybe Captain Conviction, while fun, isn't the best role model for evangelism. Go figure. Thankfully, we have the example of Jesus as found in the Gospels. When Jesus spoke to people, he didn't make the same mistakes as Captain Conviction. So to wrap up this lesson, I'd like to look briefly...
A preacher said briefly.
Yeah. We'll see. I want to look at the way Jesus interacted with three different individuals whose lives needed correction before their paths crossed with Jesus. Zacchaeus, Matthew, and the Samaritan woman at the well. You probably know about Zacchaeus from his song. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He was a tax collector who used to use his position to take advantage of his neighbors until he met Jesus. Matthew had a similar story. He was another tax collector. Jesus changed his life with two simple words: follow me. And the woman at the well was an outcast even among Samaritans. She had had five husbands and was currently living with a man who she wasn't married to, but Jesus had time for her. So here are a few things that we, and Captain Conviction, can learn about evangelism from Jesus. First, he meets people where they are. Jesus understands who these people are. He understands their needs. He knows their lives. When he speaks to the woman at the well, he describes the gift of God as living water. He talked to shepherds about sheep. He talked to fishermen about fishing. He knew how to find the common ground so that when he spoke, he was speaking their language. When he spoke, he didn't just speak with authority. He spoke in a way that people wanted to listen and in a way they could understand. Jesus knew how to find common ground with people. Jesus listens. Unlike Captain Conviction, when Jesus talks with someone, it's a conversation. Jesus doesn't hit the woman at the well with a prepared statement. They talk. He asks a question. She answers. They talk about her answer. She asks an unrelated question about places of worship. And Jesus doesn't say, we're talking about living water here. Try to stay on point. He answers her question. He wants to teach her about the way to salvation, but he also cares about the things that matter to her. And as their conversation continues, notice how the way she talks about him shifts. You are a Jew. Are you greater than Jacob? I can see you are a prophet. Could this be the Messiah? And finally, after telling all of her neighbors about him, and they get to know him, they say, we know this man is really the Savior of the world. We go from, we should be fighting, to, do you have power I don't know about, to, you must be a prophet, to, you are the Messiah, to, you are the Savior of the world. That's quite a development over the course of conversation. And that sort of thing doesn't happen when Captain Conviction talks with somebody. They just say, you're kind of a jerk. Don't do that. Ignore that. That was dumb. All right. When working on this part, I'm reminded of the part of the song that Mr. Rogers ended every episode with. You'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. Now, setting aside that as a kid, I didn't really care for the fact that we always talked about what he wanted to talk about. I never got my turn. I even sat down at the TV ready to talk about it, and he ignored me. I figured it out eventually. But the idea there, Jesus knows that in evangelism, engaging others is a two-way conversation.
talk about things that matter to you, things that matter to me. Number three, Jesus recognizes the value within his neighbors. He doesn't go on attack in these scenes because he doesn't see these people as enemies. The captain sees everything in black and white, but Jesus sees everyone through God's eyes. He sees them as God's people. His first statements to these people don't put them on defense for their sins. He shows them all that they have value. "I must stay at your house today," he says to Zacchaeus. "Follow me," he says to Matthew. "I'm thirsty. Can you get me something to drink?" he says to the woman at the well. Each of these three had sin in their life that Jesus cared about correcting, but that's not what defined them in his eyes. They're not enemies. They're God's children. And finally, Jesus defended sinners. Both Jesus' disciples and his critics had trouble understanding why he cared about the people that he did. His disciples seemed embarrassed that he was spending time talking to a Samaritan woman. I imagine this is the type of person that they would much rather talk about than talk to. "See her over there? You know what I heard about her? Well, she doesn't get it." And what do you think Captain Conviction would say about the Samaritan woman at the well? "Look, it's the Samaritan, a misguided marrier of many men, momentarily matched with a man, but missing matrimony, magnifying the Almighty on the mistaken mountain. Much may be made of her many missteps." Don't. Right? But that's not Jesus. His disciples didn't think he should even be talking with her. But Jesus stayed in her town and spoke with her neighbors for 2 days because they were worth his time. Remember how the Pharisees and others muttered amongst themselves when they saw Jesus eating with Zacchaeus? And what they asked his disciples when they saw him eating with Matthew? "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus won't let this whispering continue. He stands up for them. "Yes, I eat with sinners. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to save the righteous, but sinners." Now, he uses the same word to describe them that the Pharisees did, but I imagine it was heard very differently coming from Jesus because of the way that he had worked with them. So what do we make of this? Well, I really enjoy pretending to be Captain Conviction. But I don't think I need to learn to talk to people from him. I think that while it's fun to be a superhero, we don't need to be the terror that flaps in the night. We don't need to be the hand of justice. We don't need to be the hero. We need to learn from Jesus. We need to see people the way Jesus sees people. We need to bring that sort of attitude to our neighbors. It doesn't take a cape. We need the gospel, and we need our example. This morning, maybe you heard something, and maybe you want to say that you need to follow Jesus' example, and you need prayers about the way that you have been speaking to others. If that's the case, come forward, share with us. We want to hear from you. If there's other struggles you have, this is the time. We want to hear from you. We want to talk to you. We want to know what you have going on. If this morning
you need to respond to the gospel yourself. If this morning you need to be baptized, we have water, this is the time. If there's anything that we can do this morning, please let us be here for you. This is the time as we stand and sing.